So what I want to share on tonight is power. We're going to start in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. It says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. I love this figure. You know, just think about that. What a figure. That should just arrest our attention right there. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. God is about to share with us something here that he really wants us to know. Not just to know on the surface, but to experientially understand. He wants us to see the depth of this. Being enlightened that ye may know what is the hope of his calling. These are things that he's saying he wants us to understand here. What is the hope of his calling? First of all, the hope of his calling, that's referring to our sonship. That's us being accepted in the beloved. That's, you know, that we've been placed as part of God's family, that we've been placed as sons by birthright. You know, I think about this, that ye may know, that we might experientially know. You know, this morning Jerry shared in his teaching on 1 Corinthians 2:12, and he said, the reason that we have spirit is that we might know the things that we've been freely given. These are things that God wants us to just not, you know, breeze over. He wants us to hide these treasures in the depths of our heart and really claim them as our own. Know the hope of his calling. Know our sonship, that we've been accepted in the beloved. And what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. You know, the riches of the glory of his inheritance, that's the church, the one body, that's God's inheritance. We are God's inheritance. We're his treasure. We're what he gets out of this whole thing. He wants us to really understand just how truly precious that we are to him, just how important we are to him. And then it says in verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. He wants us to really understand, really know what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. And that's something so important. It's not our power. It's not our own strength. It's his power to usward. You know, Jesus Christ, if I recall, said someplace, I can of mine own self do what?
Nothing.
Nothing. If Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, said that, what do any of us really think we can accomplish on our own? You know, what do we think that we're capable of by our own abilities, by our own intellect, by our own, you know, physical talents or whatever we got? You know, he said, I can of mine own self do nothing. If that's true, man, we got to really rely on that Spirit of God in Christ within us. It's not our brilliant intellect. It's not anything else about us that carries that power. It's the power of the Holy Spirit within. You know, it would have been really fantastic if this verse 19 right here just simply said, and what is his power to usward who believe? But it doesn't say that. It would have been even more fantastic if it said, and what is the greatness of his power to usward who believe? But it doesn't say that either. What's it say? It says, the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. You think God's trying to make some sort of an emphatic point here? He's trying to add emphasis and really help us to see and to understand just how big his power is. Think we ought to put any limits on his power to usward? No way. No, it's just beyond any limits. The power of God in Christ in us is just, it far surpasses anything that we could ever think up on our own. We should expect each and every single day to see God's power being manifested in our lives. We should see it so frequently that it's just a normal thing. It's not something that's like a holy cow, once in a lifetime sort of phenomenon. It's a regular basis, you know, seeing God's power being manifested day by day and God just continuing to amaze us every single time with how great he can work within us. So, you know, what do we have to do in order to manifest God's power? It says it right here in this verse. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who do one thing? Believe. That's it. It's just so simple. Only one thing, believe. And you know, believing isn't a complicated thing. Believing is just simply to accept something as true. It's to say, yeah, I believe that, and I'm going to put it to practice. I'm going to put it to the test. You know, each and every one of us had to believe that that chair that you're sitting in right now was going to hold you up. I don't know if anybody came in here and tested it out with their foot and, you know, said, is it really going to work? No, we just believed that that chair was capable of holding us up, and we sat our butts down. And you know what? That chair did its thing, and that's believing. It's as simple as that. So in order for it to work, the thing that's being believed has to be reliable and true. Now, if somebody came and unscrewed the hardware in your chair, we might have a problem, because that chair would no longer be reliable and true. Well, God's word is reliable and true. You can't unscrew the hardware out of Ephesians, you know? So, believing is just simply to accept something that's true to the end that we act on it and that we prove it. And then it says, the second half of this verse 19, according to the working of his mighty power. And his mighty power literally is the strength of his might. God just wants to show off the strength of his might. He wants to just show off how great he is. He wants us to put him to the test so that he can show to the world and to us just how powerful he really is. Just get this mind picture of this superstar athlete that's standing on the sideline and he's just bugging his coach saying, let me in, coach, let me in, put me in the game. I want to get in there. I just want to tear it up. I want to tear up that field. I want to dominate the competition, coach, put me in. And our stupid minds are the coach that's keeping that guy on the sideline. God, he just wants to go to work. He just wants to show how powerful he is, how strong his might really is. He wants to show himself strong on our behalf. And when we just allow him to get in the game, when we stop keeping him on the sideline in our lives and we allow him to get in there and do his thing, then the strength of his might is just going to be on full display for all of us to see. The way that we let him in the game is simple. We believe. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2, please. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13. Philippians 2:13, it says, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Doesn't say, for it's God which worketh in the perfect people, right? No. It doesn't say that he only works in perfect people. It says he works in you. Just silly old imperfect you. You know, full of all your flaws, full of all your shortcomings, all your frailties, God works in you. You know, we make these constant mishaps. Sometimes we get discouraged because we just recognize our imperfections, but God still works in you. This morning, during manifestations, something was said that I just had to write it down afterwards so I remember. For I know your flesh isn't perfect, but I've called you just the way that you are. Man, what an incredible God. He knows what we're made of. He doesn't expect perfection. No, he just wants to work in each and every one of us the way that we are. And it's his good pleasure to work in you. He wants to work in you. I think sometimes we limit God in our lives, not because we doubt God's power and his ability, but because we're all too cognizant of our own frailties and our own shortcomings, our own sin, and we just sort of have this thought that God isn't willing to work in us because we're not up to his standard or something. That's bull. That's ridiculous. And we got to get over that, because God chose us the way that we are, and he wants to work in us just the way that we are. And think about this. This is really going to blow your mind. God even wants to work in that person sitting next to you. And you know that person's far from perfect. God wants to work in everybody. It's a one body deal. He wants to work in all of us. That's a pretty cool God. Can we even imagine what our lives would be like, just the greatness of God at work in our lives, if we really believed this verse, if we really stretched the limits of this one verse in our lives? Philippians 2:13 again, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Let's go back to Ephesians, please. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3 and in verse 16. Ephesians 3:16, it says that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. God's desire is that we grow big and fat spiritually. In order for the physical body to grow, we need physical food, right? In order for our mind to grow, we've got to feed ourselves mental food. In order to grow your spirit, you need spiritual food. And a great way to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man is to speak in tongues much in your private prayer life. And the inner man, strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that inner man is in contrast to the outward man. You know, the outward man is your old man nature, that man of body and soul. The inner man is your new nature that you received when you were born again of God's Spirit. That new nature is strengthened as you grow with God and in his word. Verse 17 says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that he might be filled with all the fullness of God. Verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. I don't know about you, but I can think of a lot. Give me a little bit of time to myself, and my mind is going to come up with all kinds of crazy ideas, guaranteed. But the times in my life where, looking back now, I just know beyond a shadow of a doubt that it was God at work in that situation, there's just no way I could have thought that up. I mean, no way that I could have come up with how God was going to reach that solution when I was going through it. It's just impossible. He's, you know, we say outside the box, he's like thinking outside this universe. You know, one of the greatest joys, Lissa will appreciate this, one of the greatest joys that I have as a father is coming up with all kinds of fun ways to surprise my kids. And just thinking of, like, you know, maybe they're really disappointed about something, they're really discouraged, but I've got something in my back pocket that's really going to knock their socks off, really going to bless them that day. And just thinking of ways where I can surprise my kids with something and watching their face change from a look of disappointment, a look of sadness, and suddenly be filled up with joy and filled up with excitement. It's like the greatest pleasure to me to watch that, to watch their reaction. And doesn't God do the same thing for us over and over? You know, I mean, we have no idea how he's going to do his thing, but he's going to do it for us. And he is just so excited to just watch our reaction when once he does it, once we recognize, oh man, God, I did not see that one coming, but thank you. You know, that's a cool thing about our Heavenly Father. God's got all those tricks up his sleeve. Sometimes when I'm in a jam and I'm not quite sure how I'm going to get out of it, and I'm just spinning my wheels trying to think up every single possible solution, every possible outcome, it's when I least expect it that God's going to come through and he's going to do something completely outside of my reasoning to resolve the issue. That's a great thing. Well, first, where is this in? 20, right? Okay, let's read it again. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. According to means having a purpose or intention. It's the destination to be reached. You see, this is why God constantly goes above and beyond for us. That's why God does so much for us. The destination, the goal, is that we grow in our appreciation of how important our lives are to God. And that we grow in our spiritual life so that the power of the Holy Spirit working within us can be a regular thing. So what good is all this power that God's word says we have if we don't really put it to the test, if we don't really utilize it, if we don't demonstrate it? How are we going to put it into operation? Why would such power be given to people if it wasn't intended to be put to use, if it wasn't intended to be manifested? You know, most Christians out there today, they are not living the more abundant life that Jesus Christ came to make available to us. And it's because they don't know the power that they have in Christ. And it's because they don't know the key to releasing that power. Well, the key to power is renewing our minds to God's word. It's to know what your legal rights are as a son of God. And it's to claim those rights for your own. Let's go to Romans chapter 12, please. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. We read this one this morning. We'll read again. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. It says, "And be not conformed to this world." To be conformed is to be fashioned. You know, what are the fashions of this world? The fashions of this world are fear. That's one. Jealousy. That's another. Lying. Stealing. Always wanting more than what you have and never being content. Those are the fashions of the world. Well, God's word says, be not conformed to this world. Don't be fashioned after this world. But be transformed. And transformed means be transfigured. To change from the form of something, from one thing into something else. It's to take on a new figure. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. To renew the mind means to change the mind. It means to eliminate certain negative thoughts that are contrary to God's word and replace them with positive thoughts that are in alignment with God's word. It's our job, it's our responsibility to control our thinking and to intentionally fix our minds on the things of God. And when we're doing that, we're building a new quality in our minds. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, please. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. Ephesians 4, 22, it says that he put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. Put off that old man just like you're taking off a dirty old shirt. And be renewed. And that means new in quality. I'm sorry, I skipped ahead. Finish verse 22 first. That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Verse 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So we put on, we renew our minds, that new in quality, and we put on the new nature, which is new in quality. It's like having a fresh start. From that point on in our lives, we've just got a fresh start. We're new in quality. The renewed mind, you know, it's not something that you just finally arrive at one day and you can just check that box and say, okay, got the renewed mind down, and now we're on to, you know, the next thing in my spiritual quest. Nope. It's not like that. The renewed mind, it's a continuous, day-by-day, lifelong process. The renewed mind is the key to power because it's the renewed mind that enables the believer to demonstrate spiritual realities in the senses world. It's just so wonderful that our God doesn't just simply tell us in his word what to do, but he actually tells us how to do it. So in order to renew our minds, the first thing that we've got to do, step number one, is study God's word. We've got to study God's word much in our private lives. Our minds are just constantly being fed negatives from the world, right? You turn on the news and in like 30 seconds, you're depressed. Just the world around us is just constantly feeding us negatives. So we need to flood our minds with the positives of God's word, which in turn is going to produce positive results. So in studying God's word, that's where we learn about his great love for us. That's where we learn about our sonship rights. It's where we learn that we've been born again of his spirit, that we're more than conquerors in every situation, that it's Christ in you, the hope of glory, that we've been set apart by God for something that's far greater than ourselves. God's word, just in studying the word, we learn so much about who God is and who he's made us to be, what his intentions are for us, for our lives. The vision that he has, his heart, that's how we get to know him, is by studying his word. And so that's always first. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, please. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 2, 13, it says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God which effectually worketh also in you that believe. That's how we need to receive God's word. We need to receive God's word not like it's just the word of men, not like it's somebody's opinion or because so-and-so said this, I believe it. No, it's the word of God. We got to receive it as the word of God, know who the author is, and that's what gives it validity that it has. Let's go to Acts chapter 17, verse 11. You know, I think it's so cool. This verse we just read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 is just such a great testimony of the believers in Thessalonica, how they received God's word and that they believed it so that it would effectually work in them that believe. And then we read in Acts chapter 17, 11, this next church, they even showed up the church in Thessalonica. Acts chapter 17, 11, they're in Berea here, and it says, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. And that should be our heart every time we approach God's word, is that we want to really understand, really search the scriptures. Don't just take it because somebody said it, but take it because that's what God's word says. Search the scriptures whether those things are so. Really try and understand this is God's word. It's not the opinions of men. It's not somebody's, you know, some denomination's standard form of doctrine that was just handed down traditionally through centuries. No. God's words to us. This is God's heart on paper for us. Let's go to 1 John chapter 3, please. So the second step in renewing our minds is to change our mental habits and control our thoughts to recognize our position in Christ as sons of God. 1 John chapter 3. As we read God's word, we need to specifically believe what God's word says about us, or else we're just never going to benefit from it. After we have read God's word, we think about it. We allow God's word to really dwell in our hearts richly so that we can grow in recognizing our position as sons of God, along with our sonship rights, our privileges, the abilities that we've been given. And then we can really understand and believe who we are and what God has called us to be. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1 says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now, not someday in the future, now, are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So that second step to renewing our minds is to change our mental habits and control our thoughts to recognize our position in Christ as sons of God. Just be assured of what God's word says specifically regarding those things that it says about us. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3, please. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. So the third step in the renewed mind is to practice the presence of God. We turn our thoughts to God. We talk to God. We speak in tongues much. We stay our minds on God and his word. You know, we should just be constantly aware of God's presence in our lives. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. As we are practicing the presence of God and constantly aware of his presence in our lives, as we do that, we put the thoughts of God's word in our minds. And that's how we really align our hearts and minds with what God's heart is. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. I'm sure a lot of us have jobs, and it's really easy when you're at work to think, man, my a-hole boss made me do this, and I'm doing it for him, you know? He asked me to fill out this report. I want to tell him to fill out his own report. No. You know what? It's God that we're working for. Yeah, your boss might be an a-hole, but you're working for God. It's God that we're looking to please. In everything that we're doing, we're just trying to honor him first and foremost in everything that we do. We're just trying to give our very best for him in whatever it is that we put our hand to do, we're doing it for God. We just know that He's the one that we're trying to please, and that He's the one that's going to reward us in the end. For ye serve the Lord Christ. Flip back a few verses here to verse 14. The fourth step in the renewed mind is to live the love of God. The love that most natural men experience, you know, it's a lot different from what the love of God in the renewed mind and manifestation is. You know, the love that a natural man experiences, usually it's like a rose with thorns on it. You know, it looks really pretty. If you hold it, you might get hurt. The love of God in the renewed mind is like a rose with no thorns on it. Something that's just beautiful to look at and smell, and it's something really wonderful to hold. Colossians chapter 3, verse 14. It says, "And above all these things, put on charity, that love of God in the renewed mind and manifestation, which is the bond of perfectness." The love of God is what ties and binds this family together. So first, we control our thinking by feeding it with God's word, with the word that we've studied. And then we recognize our position in Christ as sons of God. And next, we practice the presence of God. And finally, we live love. And if each of us follows these four steps to the renewed mind, then we're going to really find ourselves manifesting the renewed mind in a wonderful way and demonstrating God's power in our lives. Let's go back to where we started. Close again, Ephesians chapter 1, please. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. Ephesians 1, 17, "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may experientially know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power." So what do you say? Let's go out there, let's do what God's word says, and let's be spiritual powerhouses, allowing God to work within us. Love you guys.